Hello, and welcome to the Explorers Podcast. Today you are listening to our very first mini-episode. We are producing these shorter shows to cover topics that just don't warrant a full-fledged episode. While we can use this format to learn about some explorers, these mini-episodes also give me the opportunity to cover a variety of topics related to exploration, and today is one of those. And that is the caravel. Let's get going. The caravel was one of the most important developments of the Age of Discovery. It is a type of ship, and it would become the backbone of ocean-going exploration for a century. Let's do some background. Up until the 1400s, European ships were not designed for an extended ocean voyage. The ships up to this time were usually single-masted with one square sail and often used rowers. They were designed mostly for commerce. However, most of these ships were not that seaworthy. Powerful winds, shoals, and ocean currents could easily overwhelm their capabilities. Outside of the Mediterranean Sea, these ships rarely ventured out of sight of land for very long. The development of the caravel is generally attributed to the work of Henry the Navigator, a Portuguese prince who championed exploration and expansion in the mid-1400s. Henry and his engineers were not afraid to study other cultures, and they had seen designs and reports of Arab ships that had multiple masts and lateen sails. These, plus other attributes developed by Portuguese fishermen, would lead to the development of the caravel in 1451. The ship was revolutionary in many ways. First, it had multiple masts, usually 2 to 3, and lateen sails. We mentioned the lateen sails earlier, and I want to explain what that means. Lateen sails are triangular, and the cool thing about them is that they can be adjusted so that a ship could move forward despite sailing into the wind. This is called tacking and beading, with a ship using a zigzag course to actually move forward. I am not a sailor, so I'm just going to leave the explanation at that, but know that it works. So, the caravel had multiple masts and sails. They were not big, usually 40 to 60 feet in length, with a capacity of 50 to 70 tons, and a crew of roughly 20 to 40 men. All of this would make the caravel light, quick, fast, and very maneuverable, as well as manageable, especially in rough and unpredictable waters. And their shallow draft allowed them to go up rivers and sail closer to the shore. All of this would be critical as Portuguese mariners ventured outside of the Mediterranean Sea and into the Atlantic Ocean. That means the ships that went out into the ocean or down the coast of Africa weren't as likely to be swept away by sudden storms or strong currents. On the open seas, these powerful currents could take a ship and carry it for hundreds of miles, never to be seen again. And along the African coast, winds could pull a ship onto the rocks or across hidden shoals, where ships would be broken to pieces or have their hulls gutted. The caravel was much better at countering the powerful currents and storms, and their maneuverability and quickness allowed them to avoid dangerous situations often found along the coastline. All this would mean that the world would quickly become a much bigger place for the Portuguese as opportunities emerged that no one had imagined a few decades before. Once the caravel came into operation, they would be used to scout out the lands down the west coast of Africa. Slowly but surely, the Portuguese would advance down the coast, setting up trading posts and forts along the way. By the end of the 1400s, the Portuguese were the undisputed naval champions of Europe. No one could match their fleet or ocean-going trade network. Men like Diogo Cao and Bartolomeu Dias and Vasco da Gama would use the caravel on their voyages of discovery. And as Spain got into the exploration game, the caravel would be employed by men such as Christopher Columbus, whose ships Niña and Pinta are probably the most famous caravels in history. In the end, it was the caravel that opened up Africa, the Americas, and the Far East to the Western world. Now, a few notes about the caravel. These ships often had cannons, but they were not big guns. At this time, naval combat was not about ships exchanging cannon fire. The ships would sail up to one another, and men would board the enemy ship, and the fighting would be hand-to-hand. The cannons on the caravel, especially those in the early years, were mostly used to discourage pirates and brigands, who would approach caravels in smaller boats and try to board the bigger vessels. Now, for all the innovative things about the caravel, it had its limitations. And that biggest limitation was its small storage capacity, making it less than ideal as a commerce vessel. They just could not carry that much stuff. Thus, by the end of the 1400s, the caravel was followed, and in a lot of ways superseded, by other, larger ships, most of them designed using the same fundamentals as the caravel. These new ships got bigger, had more cargo space, sported more guns, that sort of thing. This became even more important as voyages got longer due to the opening of the Americas and the markets in the Far East. The caravel would continue to be built and used throughout the Age of Discovery, a key cog in the Portuguese and Spanish fleets of the era, not to mention other nations such as France and England as they dipped their toes into the world of exploration. When all was said and done, no ship contributed to the explosion of exploration in the 15th century than the small but effective caravel. So that is it, the story of the caravel. I hope you enjoyed our first mini-episode of the Explorers Podcast. Thank you for listening. Take care, and I will see you next time.